भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 85. Lord Krishna instructs Vasudeva. Text number 45. Tanha prasidha nirapeksha vimrigha yusmat. Padara vinda disananya gandha kupat. Niskamya vishva saranangri upalabdhaviti. Santo yataika rita salavasakais charamhi. Na prasida nirapeksha vivrimya kusmat. Adhara vinda disananya grihanda kupat. Vishkramya vishva saranagra uplabdha vritti. Santayataika uta sarva sakais charamhi.
In such a way.
Na.
To us.
Prasida.
Please be merciful.
Nidapeksha,
by those who have no
material motives. Vimrigya,
searched for.
Yasmat,
your.
Pada,
than
the feet.
Aravinda,
lotus.
Tisanya,
shelter.
Anya,
other.
Griha,
from the
home.
Andha,
blind.
Kupat,
which is
a well.
Nishkramya,
going
out.
Vishva,
to the whole
world.
Sarana,
of those who are
helpful.
The trees.
Angri,
at the feet.
Upalabdha,
obtained.
Vritti,
whose livelihood.
Sandha,
peaceful.
Yata,
as.
Eka,
alone.
Uta,
or else.
Sava,
of
everyone.
Sakai,
with
the friends.
Charami,
I may wander.
Translation.
Please
be merciful to
me
so I may
get out of the
blind well of
family life,
my
false home,
and find
the true shelter
of your lotus
feet,
which
selfless sages
always seek.
Then,
either
alone or in the
company of great saints
who are the
friends of everyone,
I may wander
freely,
finding life's
necessities at the
feet of the universally
charitable trees.
Purport.
Srila
Vishvanatha Chakravarti
Thakur
states that in
response to Bali's
prayers,
Sri
Krishna invited
him to choose
some benediction.
And
in this verse,
Bali submits
his request.
Bali
begs to be
relieved of the
entanglement of
material life so
he will be free
to leave
home and wander in
the wilderness
with only
the Lord's
lotus feet
as his shelter.
For
his subsistence,
Bali
proposes he will
take help from
the forest trees
at whose
feet are fruits
to eat
and leaves
to sleep on
for all
to use as
needed.
And if the
Lord is especially
merciful to him,
Bali
hopes he will not have
to wander alone
but will be
allowed to travel
in the company of
Lord Krishna's devotees.
hmm.
So here, Bali Maharaj, he's almost finished offering his prayers. And Bali Maharaj, of course, is he's taking the role that he is representing those in this world in the modes of passion and ignorance. He's not actually considering himself a great Vaishnava. He is a great Vaishnava, one of the greatest Vaishnavas. But at the same time, Bali Maharaj was born in the family of demons. And his descendants, such as Banasura, were also became demons. He's coming in the line of Hiranyakasipu, who is also one of the greatest demons. So, Bali Maharaj, in his prayers, he is taking that role that he is representing those in the modes of passion and ignorance, those human beings but of lower nature. And so his prayers are very significant, of course, especially for us who take birth in this Kali Yuga, where the modes of interior nature, the modes of passion and ignorance are particularly prevalent, and people are very much degraded by these modes of passion and ignorance. So, Bali Maharaj, he's in the previous verse, he says that what to speak of ourselves, even the perfect yogis, even the greatest mystics, do not know what your spiritual power of delusion is or how it acts. Of course, in that verse, Bali Maharaj refers to, he uses the word yoga maya, and the purport there states that only God and his liberated devotees can know its svarup and visesha, or the essential nature and characteristics of Krishna's yoga maya. So it's very bewildering, because Krishna has, of course, revealed his form here to Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj is saying that who can understand this, how your spiritual energy is working, that such a person as me, born in such a demoniac species of life, have the darshan, or the audience of the Supreme Lord. So, because actually yoga maya, Krishna's spiritual potency, yoga maya manifests, yoga maya is Krishna's own spiritual energy, his internal spiritual energy. And by the agency of his own spiritual energy, yoga maya, Krishna manifests his form in the eternal spiritual realm, in the topmost spiritual realm of Goloka Vrindavan. And he also manifests that spiritual form in Bhoma Vrindavan, here in this material world. So yoga maya is the topmost of all Krishna's energies. Yoga maya is foremost. So yoga maya is manifesting this highest feature, the most sweetest, a complete feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But as actually Uddhava described to Vidura, that Krishna's yoga maya, which works in which manifests Krishna's form in Vrindavan, in the spiritual sky, also manifests Krishna's form in this material world. And yoga maya is so powerful and so inconceivably wonderful in executing the will of the Lord that even the Lord himself is astounded and amazed at the beautiful form of Krishna manifested by his own spiritual energy, Yogamaya, that is manifested even in this material world. And that form of Krishna, that activity of Yogamaya, does not function in the Vaikuntha planets. So actually, the residents of this earth planet who are able to appreciate the beautiful form of Krishna, the most spiritually beautiful form, which enchants even God himself, they're very, very fortunate. That is the... And this is... Bali Maharaj, of course, he's trying to come to grips, he's trying to understand, who can fathom? He says the greatest mystic yogis, they cannot understand. In fact, nearly everyone is bewildered. They don't understand the nature of Krishna's yoga maya, his spiritual energy, her eternal identity, and they don't know the workings of Krishna's internal potency, yoga maya. They have no understanding. Generally, yoga maya works in two ways. In one way, she actually reveals the form of Krishna. So she manifests Krishna's form in Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual sky, and she manifests and reveals Krishna's form to us even in the material world. But yoga maya also has another characteristic, another function, and that is that she, to those who are envious of God, she covers one's vision so that they cannot see Krishna. So therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, text number 25, it describes that foolish people, they actually consider that when Krishna manifests his original spiritual form, that that previously he was impersonal, and that's his true nature, and now there's an imposed material form which we see in the material world, but that's not his eternal form. That's what foolish people think. But Krishna says that they cannot understand that this form is transcendental, it is unborn, and it is limitless, inexhaustible. So they cannot understand that. They see a form of Krishna and they think it is a limited form, just like any of the other forms in this material world. That's also another function of yoga maya, and that word is used also in that verse as well. But there, of course, yoga maya is acting through her expansion as mahamaya. So people think like that. People perceive or hear about Krishna's form, and because they're covered by yoga maya in the form of her expansions, mahamaya, they are bewildered and cannot appreciate that spiritual form. There's an example given by Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura that I think it was the moon. The moon was actually born from the churning of the ocean of milk. But all the fish in the ocean of milk, they saw the moon as just another fish, because the moon appeared from the same ocean of milk. It rose from the same ocean of milk, so they thought that the moon is just another fish. It's a big, bright, round fish. So in the same way, because we see Krishna appear in this world, we see Krishna as just one of us. That's because we don't know the workings of Krishna's spiritual energy. If we understand Krishna's spiritual energy, how it functions, then we can understand that Krishna is not one of us. Krishna, his eternal form, his form is eternal. And each of the limbs of Krishna's form can actually perform the functions of all the other limbs. Krishna's inside, Krishna's outside is all spiritual. It's all Krishna, all manifested by his spiritual energy. So it is not a limited body like ours. We have a limited body. You know, with our arm we can reach out, get a drink if we're thirsty, have a sip. But if I poured this water on my knee, like so, I get wet, but I don't quench my thirst. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna, all the limbs of Krishna's body are completely interchangeable. They can function in any particular capacity he likes. Actually, the spirit souls described it, the spirit soul, even the jiva, when they go back to the spiritual world, they also have that ability or that characteristic, because they're completely, they have a completely spiritual form. But a huge difference between us and Krishna, of course, is that he has multifarious potencies, spiritual potencies, by which all of his by which his will is immediately and automatically executed. So Krishna will think of something, just like for anything there is a plan. And Krishna's thinking is also a manifestation of one of his multifarious internal spiritual energies. And then Krishna will desire to manifest that which he's conceived. Just like we have so many beautiful flowers in this world, so many beautiful flowers in the spiritual world. They're being conceived of by Krishna, thought of, and then by his will he wants them, and immediately by his will then his Kriya Shakti, of which Balaram is the supervisor of, immediately goes into activity and manifests that. And through this, Krishna has manifested the entire spiritual world, the entire material world, all the expansions of Godhead, all the unlimited material and spiritual planets, all the living entities. By his, when he thinks of something, it will happen. Just think of how many things that we have thought of in this life that just come to nothing. I would like to do this. The other day I thought of an invention. It may never happen. But you think, I could be a millionaire. So I was at my father's place and they had trouble because the doors keep dropping. So of course when you shut a door, you've got the part that catches the tongue, and so that's dropped down. So I thought you could have a tongue part with an adjustable tongue, so it actually slides up and down. So when your door, because they're doors with the weather, right? The weather lifts it and it drops it. So, but every time you adjust that tongue, you wreck the screw hole and you can't put it back on. So you've got to be able to screw it once, but adjust it. See? Anyway, what's that?
Not your idea anymore.
Not my idea anymore. Someone else will make $1 million. But the difference is that you can, you know, how many things do we think of that come to nothing? And even if we, you know, try, oh, I'm going to make this happen, it still comes to nothing. In fact, we might even sometimes get the exact opposite result. So that's not the case with Krishna. When Krishna thinks by his own spiritual potency of knowledge and consciousness, and his, you know, we can see how artistically and intelligently he thinks. We look at the material world, how it is designed. So artistic, so beautiful. And then by his will and then his energies make everything happen. So this whole material world, that is all Krishna. So we see Krishna there. Again, materialists will look and they will see that on the altar there is just stone or marble. But they do not understand that it may be stone, but it is completely acting under the spiritual potency of Krishna's internal potency, and is therefore non-different from Krishna, actually. And the deity of the Lord is the merciful incarnation of the Lord in material elements, so that we can see the form of Krishna, and yet it acts just the same under Krishna's spiritual energy as Krishna does. Therefore, you know, if you look at the activities of the deities, you would think, someone may say, oh, they just appear to be marble, and yet somehow or another, every day, new dress, new clothes, new flowers. You know, what stone do we see in this world that can, you know, desire to be dressed so beautifully, differently every day, and serve so many preparations? What stone have we ever seen that can do that? The Krishna appears to be a stone, and yet he desires so many different types of offerings and change of clothes and kirtan and so many activities, all manifesting by the desire of Krishna. Yoga Maya, the potency by which he is able to manifest his pastimes even in the material world. So that form of Krishna, even though he appears in this material world, it is functioning under the spiritual energy manifested by, and so many different arrangements are made by Yoga Maya. They're not made by the material energy. Just like when Krishna departed from this planet, that was he was shot in the heel by a hunter. That was again Krishna's pastimes. Now the materialists, they will say, oh, Krishna was so sinful, you know, he was always, you know, trying to harm Duryodhana. He was, you know, he made enemies with Salva and Duryodhana, therefore, and he killed so many people to get a kingdom, therefore he got his karma, he was killed by hunter. That's what they say. So Krishna leaves behind this pastime for people who want to be envious. So here is Krishna who lifted Govardhan Hill for 7 days, the little finger of his left hand. Now, who can lift a mountain you know, with both arms, let alone the left one, let alone just a little finger, for 7 days. So many different pastimes, one after the other. Who can marry 16,108 wives and live with them in, you know, different palaces simultaneously? And yet they will say, oh, Krishna took birth, Krishna died, he is immortal just like us. They will disregard all the evidence, all the other pastimes, and just take these activities. But actually Krishna is unborn. When Krishna appears, he becomes manifest. There's Prakata Leela and Aprakata Leela. Krishna is actually always present, but we don't always see him. When Krishna appears before us in this world, it appears as though he has taken birth, but he hasn't. It's just that eternal form has manifest somewhere or other in one universe or another. Krishna's pastimes are eternally manifesting in the same way that now it is nearly 20 to 8, 7:30 is gone to our vision. 7:30 is now no longer manifest, but at some place in this world 7:30 will always be manifest somewhere, because we can't experience 7:30. We think that it is gone, but actually 7:30 is there somewhere. So in the same way, just like when the sun sets, or when the sun rises, we think it's not as if when the sun rises we don't think, oh, today there's a new sun. The one yesterday fell in the ocean, and a new one somehow was mysteriously made and popped up. And then we'll see tonight, oh, the sun, it's finished, fell in the ocean again. There must be a lot of suns, you know, falling in the ocean and then being dissolving. And then we think, oh, a new sun has come. But it's not, it's the same sun, it just sometimes manifests, sometimes unmanifests, like that. So Krishna, his pastimes, all his birth, and this is the expertise of Yoga Maya, that Krishna appears in this material world, and for those who want to see him as an ordinary person, he actually appears just like an ordinary person. Did a few, you know, wonderful things, and the other things they don't believe. So that people will say, oh, he is a person in this material world. He took birth, he died. Okay, maybe he had a few yogic, you know, cities, expanded himself a few times. You know, I'll accept some things, but not others. That can't be. It's, you know, legend, myth, or what have you. So if people want to see like that, Yoga Maya has arranged that's what they will see. If people want to come into the deity room and see stone, then all they will see, oh, look, there's some stone. That is Yoga Maya. That is in her pastimes as Mahamaya, she can cover. Amazing. And yet, for those who want to perceive the reality, spiritual reality, then Yoga Maya reveals that to the devotees, without a doubt, without any misconceptions, without any confusion. So, these are the activities of Yoga Maya. So, we see that in this material world, that Krishna's, there are two features. There is the transcendental energy. Krishna's energy manifests as the transcendental energy, his divine potency, by which His will is being enacted. And then there is also the material energy by which the conditioned souls engage in materialistic activities. So those who are devotees of the Lord, they pray to be under the protection of the spiritual energy. And coming under the protection of Krishna's spiritual energy, they move with the will of Krishna, and they can perceive the will of Krishna, and they can perceive the presence of Krishna everywhere. It is, in one sense, it is. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita that what is night for all beings is a time of awakening for the self-controlled. Or what is the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. So the self-control, while everyone else is sleeping on the lap of the witch called Maya, they are bewildered by Maya, the whole world. What is that bewilderment? Everyone thinks they are the body. Everyone in this world thinks they are the body, and everyone in this material world becomes attached to the body and other things in relationship to that body. All bewildered. So they have no idea of their eternal spiritual nature or the Supreme Personality of Godhead's eternal spiritual nature or the eternal spiritual relationship with the Supreme Lord. But those souls who actually come to the point and understand, I am the eternal servant of God, I am the eternal servant of Krishna, immediately they come to that point, they come under the protection of Krishna's spiritual energy. And therefore, although they're in this material world, they're not sleeping in the lap of the witch called Maya. They're still, in one sense, in the dream, but they're aware of their situation. You ever had that experience where I used to, when I was young, I used to meditate before I went to sleep, and you know, you do the deep breathing, and then you gradually, your body actually goes to sleep, and you can actually be aware. I've done this. You're aware of the time your body goes to sleep, and yet you're still conscious. You ever had that experience? Okay. Yeah?
The opposite
sometimes. What's that? Yeah? You'll have to explain that one.
Consciousness is awake, but my body's too tired to move.
Okay.
And so it would usually be like in the early hours, and especially when I was living a pretty rough lifestyle, I sometimes would. It's like kind of like a coma or something. You know? Mm-hmm. I hear someone knocking at the door.
Yeah.
Someone tapped on the window, and I don't know if it really was happening or not. But I'm trying so hard to get up, but I can't get up. And my consciousness is awake. I can hear it.
Your body was probably asleep.
Sorry.
It's probably the same sort of thing. Your body was asleep.
Body is just totally out cold. But consciousness is awake.
Right? Also, another experience I have, which is similar, is that when you're actually asleep and you're dreaming, and you know you're dreaming. Mm. You done that?
Yeah.
Because usually when you're dreaming, you just get absorbed in it. But when you're dreaming and you know, I'm lying here dreaming. So usually when I do that, I think, oh, what am I going to do? Because when you dream, you can do anything. So I usually fly. And sometimes what I used to do is when I realised I was dreaming, I thought I'd like to fly. So I was on one of those carpets, you know how they have the magic carpets and you sit in the magic carpet, so flying, you know, all around the world, just wherever I wanted to go, everywhere, just, you know, flying around. And then another time before I went to sleep, I actually thought, if I had a carpet that was see-through, it'd be better because I didn't have to look over the side. So when I was asleep, I actually had a see-through carpet and I just had to look down. And I was sitting like this, you know, flying. And then sometimes I used to fly underwater. But you're aware of the fact that you're awake. You're aware of the fact that you're dreaming, and therefore you actually, in one sense, take control of the dream. So what the transcendentalists, how they go through this life. They're aware that this world is like a dream state, but they're aware of it, and they understand that they have an identity that they're not quite fully manifesting on that platform, but when they leave this temporary dream-like state, that they will fully manifest their normal activities. So that's sort of like the activities of the devotees. It's actually called Yoga Nidra. Yoga Nidra is a function, or one of the potencies of Yoga Maya. Because Yoga Maya she allows an external covering of transcendental consciousness within this material world. It's not quite the pure consciousness of the soul yet, but it is a transcendental consciousness which is there by the potency of yoga maya, and its effect is yoga nidra, where you're self-realized even though you're in this dreamlike state in the material world. As yoga nidra, a trance of self-realization. Of course, to the materialist, we appear to be asleep. The yoga nidra, they think we're sleeping. But we're sleeping in the trance of self-realization, or trying to. And they are sleeping in ignorance. So, Bali Maharaj, he is offering these prayers that... he's saying, please be merciful to me. But previously he's saying, you know, the way that your spiritual energy acts in this way to manifest your wonderful spiritual form, which is such a benediction, because even, you know, in Vaikuntha planets, what to speak of the heavenly planet, you know, this beautiful form of Krishna is not revealed. Yoga Maya doesn't actually function or manifest her supreme capabilities there. And another, Bali Maharaj is considering, and you are manifesting this supreme spiritual form which is not understood by even the great demigods and even great mystic yogis, and yet ordinary people like us are able to have that understanding of your transcendental original form. So this is the Lord's causeless mercy, which is very mysterious. And so he is understanding that, you know, in this world he has his family and this and that and the other, but he's fully aware that he is the eternal servant of Krishna, and he is very eager to, you know, get back to acting on that platform of his eternal spiritual identity and eternal spiritual activities in the spiritual world. So therefore he's praying that, may I get out of the blind well of family life, my false home, and find the true shelter of your lotus feet. So we shouldn't take those words that he is completely bewildered by family life. Nor should we think that devotees in this world who are actually in the Grihastha ashram and who are Krishna conscious, we should also not think that they are bewildered by the material energy. Nor should we think that even the sannyasis or the vanaprastas who are Krishna conscious are identifying themselves with any of those bodily designations. As we know, there's that very wonderful prayer by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu: I am not a grihastha, I am not a vanaprastha, not a brahmachari, not sannyas, not brahmana, I am not a kshatriya, I'm not a vaishya, I'm not a sudra. So what are you? I am the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. So one, that is how a devotee sees oneself, and that is how we should see other devotees meditating upon themselves, not by their external situation. And therefore we should be very eager to take the association of any devotee who is Krishna conscious like that, no matter what ashram, no matter, you know, what their external situation is. If they are Krishna conscious, we should associate with them, of course according to the proper etiquette, but in a, you know, be very eager to have the association of the Vaishnavas. And that is what Bali Maharaj here is praying, although from another point it would appear that he's an ordinary conditioned soul trying to get out of illusion, but he is certainly not in that position. So if there are any questions or comments on any of that?